Let's talk about how Fralin was able to quickly put this plan together for mass testing and realize this is something that needed to be done, and Tech and the lab had the facilities that allowed you guys to do this.
So back in March, it was apparent to a group of us that there was a tremendous demand that was not being met in the region for testing for SARS-CoV-2, which leads to COVID-19. And so there were a lot of discussions being had amongst faculty, both on the Blacksburg campus and here in the Roanoke campus, many faculty of whom had the technology and the understanding of the basic approaches one needs to do COVID testing. That is the molecular biology skills that allow one to do things like isolate a virus, extract the RNA, and then test for the presence of a certain RNA. So through those discussions, it became apparent there was an opportunity for us, Virginia Tech, to contribute not only to our university, but to the entire region, particularly in a time where there was a lot of things going on nationally. For example, the CDC's first test kit had a lot of problems and wasn't working. And there were also shortages of certain chemicals, reagents that were needed. And so we felt that there was something we could do to stand that up. So that was back in sort of early mid-March. And people started working on it, both in the labs in Blacksburg at the Fralin Life Sciences Institute and in the labs here in Roanoke at the Fralin Biomedical Research Institute. And these two groups were working independently and together and came up with an integrated assay to be able to test that we developed here, our own assay, and would not be beholden to the problems that were happening nationally in terms of the flawed tests and supply chain. So that was about the time. And then we started dealing with all the approvals, validations, and regulatory aspects, which involved us working very closely with the health department.
How quickly could this come together? I mean, what to the point where you're like, all right, we can accept these mass volumes of samples we get from all over this region?
Yeah, I would say from the initial discussions that this was something to set up and do until we were actually running it was about 6 weeks. However, at that point, as I was describing towards the end of April, the amount of tests we were processing, amount of samples per day was quite small. On a given day, it may be 15, 20, 30, 40 samples, maybe 60 tops. But we very rapidly, over the period of the next 2 months, continued to increase capacity. That included acquiring additional instrumentation in addition to what we already had here at Virginia Tech. It included hiring more people to work in the lab in addition to those who were volunteering their time, the faculty, the staff, and the students here. And by the time we ramped that up, we were hitting 1,000 up to 1,250 tests in a given day. So we ramped up from that initial period in late April until about July, middle of the summer, to hit that increased capacity level that we've now been operating at since then.
I think about when we realized how severe this was, we were a lot of places doing testing, couldn't get the swabs, couldn't get the supplies. How did you be able to pull some of this off?
Yeah, that's attributed to a number of incredible people around here. There's too many to name, but in addition to Dr. Finkelstein, who really led the laboratory molecular testing and so forth, a number of other people working on the operational and logistics side realized very quickly we had to get ahead of this. So we started contacting colleagues literally all over the world to make sure we were getting necessary supplies. And we got way ahead of the game early on and began to collect and stockpile supplies. We now have good working relationships with many of those folks. So we're well supplied. And again, one really important thing to note, because the assay that was developed here, it wasn't relying on a commercial kit, such as the one done by the CDC, we did not need the exact same chemicals, things called primers that are very important to study the genes in this virus that everybody else was going after. So we actually custom designed those and can get them from a company that produces our custom designed primers. So we got ahead and around the supply chain problems.
Is there a simple way to explain how these are turned around so fast?
Simply organization. Organization and great people. That's the whole secret here. I mean, we receive the samples at 9 a.m. and 1 p.m. every day. We have a system by which we know how we are going to operate the samples. We know that by 3 to 5 p.m. we will know the result of everybody that was delivered, all the samples delivered in the morning. So, and for the ones delivered in the afternoon, we get the results either the same night or the following day. We usually have to repeat few of them. That's why we always say it on the safe side, 24 to 48 hours. But we are okay. We are rolling. I think the system that we have works. I mean, there's no any magic, to be honest with you.
Well, something I was going to ask, and either or both of you can answer, I'm wondering if Fralin has served as an example for other labs. I mean, have others sought advice for how quickly you're turning things around?
Yeah, I'm going to let Carla talk about this, but I'll just say at the outset, it's due to a variety of things, not the least of which is Dr. Finkelstein and her team. I mean, these people are truly fantastic. And the amount of time and effort people have put into this as they change from their other jobs in the research, I can't say enough about that. And the way the operation has been designed to run like a military logistical operation, from my perspective, is fantastic. I think it's a great model for others. But let me let Dr. Finkelstein tell you about the details.
I think it's a great question. I think what makes us probably different than other places is not only the way that we organize ourselves, but the commitment of everybody in the team. I mean, this is a team that was selected not only because they are fantastic professionals, but they have a great sense of community and involvement. And they decide that this is not something that we necessarily do 8 to 5. And if we need to work extra hours to make it work, we will do it. So every time that we have a call with a potential outbreak, we know that we are committed 24/7 to actually test everybody. So it's a good operation. Mike's definition that it runs like a military operation is probably correct. Everybody is very much into their station. They know what they need to do, how to do it, how fast they can do it, but always being truly mindful that there is a person behind each tube that needs to know the result as soon as possible.